Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George and I are both in Zephyr A. This is season 32 for George and season 28 for me.
This is day 16 of season 100. Our first question asks us for the comic counterpart to Opera Seria.
I had no idea about this one. If I've heard the term, I'd be surprised. I just put down something Italian sounding, which was Regia.
My first thought was Commedia, as in Commedia dell'arte. Then I thought, that's a little too close to comic, which is in the question.
Right.
So I just sort of let it bounce around in my head for a little while. And then it came to me that this is buffo, as in buffoon or clown. And I'm pretty sure that I picked this up from the classical music kind of survey course book that I got. It's a big old coffee table looking thing. And I read that, must have been a couple of years ago now. And it's helped with my classical music. Horrible category it is for me. that just kind of landed there, and like, yeah, that's it. Buffo. B-U-F-O or B-U-F-F-O. I feel like buffoon has two Fs, so it's probably buffo or buffo with two Fs. So I'll go with that.
The correct answer is buffa.
Yeah.
But you might
opera
get it.
Because I forget that other languages are gendered. Opera is female, feminine, whichever. And much like seria in the question, buffa or buffa is female as well. So I do not think I will, because buffo, whichever it is a thing in and of itself. It is a character in opera.
Oh.
So it has its own referent in this particular field. So I'm going to figure that I probably don't get that correct. But
well, I guess
we'll see. Close.
Yeah, very close. Question two asks us for the name of a jazz-tinged space western anime, and I feel like we don't have to read the rest.
I remember that there was a live-action version on Netflix. I remember that this, that is probably what I remembered it 3 years later, even though I have not watched it or know anything about it. I think I saw a few frames here and there. That's about it. And I knew it was like something about cowboys, like it's not jazz cowboys, because that's in the question. So what's the reference that it's trying to make there? And no, it's cowboy something. Oh, Cowboy Bebop. That's it. Okay, yeah, Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, this is one that I think I had run across a little bit in the It's Adult Swim run. Not that I ever got into it or watched it much, but I've probably seen like an episode, let's say. It was obviously going to be Cowboy Bebop from that first phrase, because it's remarkably specific description of any particular title of anything. And so, yeah, this is just one that I knew it had kind of a live action version that flopped, because it, you know, because it's an anime. It's a little bit of a weird thing to just take and make a live version of. I feel like that often doesn't translate very well.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Especially the more fantastical ones.
Yeah. And this was, yeah, it's set in 2071, so fairly far in the future, like sci-fi-ish, you know, setting to it. Maybe today it would work out better. It's only 3 years since the unsuccessful version, so maybe not.
I don't know. I'm hearing bad things about the Avatar remake, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, there's something ineffable, it feels like, about some of these anime series that just don't quite translate.
Yeah.
But in any case, this one I knew was Cowboy Bebop, so that's what I put down.
And that was correct. Question three asks us for the name of a strip of land that completed the present borders of the mainland United States and was named after a U.S. minister to Mexico.
So this one I couldn't remember. I thought, well, I've probably heard of whatever this thing is that was purchased, but I couldn't, you know, make my brain get around that. And I focused on the U.S. Minister to Mexico part because I read a little bit of Mexican and American history, which is a very fraught one. And the one that I know about, I don't know if his title was officially U.S. Minister to Mexico, but Poinsett, the guy who Poinsettia is named after.
Brought them back from,
who brought them back from Mexico and, you know, unsurprisingly was, you know, a huge racist as well, is, you know, again, the character that I know of in American history that, you know, in our relationship to Mexico. So that's really all I felt like I could go on. So I put down Poinsett.
This is one where I think growing up in the West largely paid off because we learn about I think we learn more about the expansion of the U.S. Maybe and so. How its borders were made and, you know, in particular, how each individual state's borders were made. Mm-hmm. Or at least I learn a lot about that because I took most of my history courses in Nevada, which... Sure. When you talk about how the borders of Nevada were formed, you're talking about the borders of like 8 different states. So,
right.
None of them were in this strip, but as part of that whole, especially around that time, you know, how was the U.S. as it is now being formed? And part of that was the Gadsden Purchase, which is kind of a wedge that's sort of, it's the bottom of Arizona and New Mexico, and I think California as well. And it's that kind of, you know, how the border of Texas is all scraggly with Mexico because it's following the river, and then all of a sudden it turns to a straight line. Mm-hmm. That's where that diverges.
Right.
It is, you know, a bunch of stuff under essentially the Rio Grande. Mm-hmm. That everybody just kind of decided, oh, we want this part too. And we, negotiated it.
Yeah, that's very much Mexico. Of a piece of... U.S. relations to Mexico around that time, especially.
Yep, very much is. I don't remember how much we paid for it, but I remember even at the time when it was like 7th, 8th grade, hearing the amount and thinking, so that was just us throwing a few bucks out the window as we drove off saying, it's ours now! Okay, fine. I knew this was Gadsden. And I quibble, though, because I know that the mainland United States, legally speaking, refers to the lower 48.
Okay.
However, I will point out, Alaska is on the same piece of land that all the other ones are.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know what the name, what the word Alaska means?
No.
Mainland. Go figure.
Wow.
It's what the Inuit, the Aleuts called that whole area because, you know, that's the big... That's the mainland to them when you talk about all the other islands and such that are out there. Even though that what they meant was the lower 48, this is the final border of the mainland.
I see. And I, you know, I've heard of the Gadsden Purchase, but I don't think I could have pointed to it on the map. So I didn't quite have the knowledge there.
Reasonable. Speaking of which, did you learn... around like the middle school time about the Donner Party in school? Was that like an official thing that you actually actively were taught about?
I honestly cannot recall.
Okay.
It's familiar enough that it feels that way.
Yeah.
And it was the trouble is it's been such a joke in pop culture and stuff since forever.
Yeah.
You know, that it's hard to really think back and remember when was the first time I heard about that. But possibly, I mean, maybe not quite that far, but
it's come up in the news since that area was socked by snow and a lot of people were stranded on the road because no one understands irony anymore. And it came up on After Midnight last night. Taylor Tomlinson, who grew up in Southern California, was amazed that other people had not heard of this.
Right.
And I was kind of thinking it's kind of the same thing where like it's part of the whole westward expansion that I'm sure people who grew up in Michigan or, you know, along the East Coast kind of, you know, that's not as geographically important to you.
Mm.
So you probably don't cover it the same way that it gets covered in schools in Nevada, for instance, where, yeah, we learned a lot about the Donner Party.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of that was like official state mandated, it's Nevada history, versus just like, hey, this is what seventh graders will pay attention to, so sure, I'll kill a week on it.
Well, yeah, I don't know how truly representative my experience with history and American history and social studies was.
Fair.
Because it, at some point, it was so disengaging. And I can't even fault the teacher as much as things like the textbooks and the materials like that. Like, it was dry. It was not, you know, a coherent narrative or an interesting or engaging narrative. And I just didn't take much in the way of actual good U.S. history after about middle school.
Fair.
And so, you know, if I had done more of that in high school, I might have gotten a better representation. But as it is, you know, I don't think I heard of the Gadsden Purchase until this most recent decade, let's say, you know,
reasonable,
sometime in there. But the Donner Party, yes, because that's the kind of thing that people like to make horrible jokes about. And
right.
But as far as like the westward expansion part, I do think the history that I remember learning was very focused on like pre-colonial, colonial, Revolutionary War, Civil War, and then kind of let your voice drop.
Mm-hmm.
Was like the history beyond that was even less of a coherent narrative. And, you know, anything more recent than 1960 or so was not taught. And the parts between 1860 and 1960 were not especially emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
So in even that said, I know this is a long, weird, meandering rant.
My bad.
But the learning about something like the Civil War, it was framed like that only involved the country east of the Mississippi River.
Oh, yeah.
Like that it was not a whole, you know, process that kind of, you know, went along with Manifest Destiny and other horrible concepts like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of, you know, pared down to this sort of war drama part between just the North and just the South. And like Michigan, for example, had barely come up in that. And anything west of the Mississippi was just like, no, that's where the cowboys were.
Right.
Like that, as though that had nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's the very long story of why I didn't know about the Gadsden Purchase this very day.
Fair.
Moving on to question 4. We are given a laundry list of celebrities and told that we needed to name the TV series that they've all been in the main cast of that premiered in 2014.
I had this on the first 3 names. Okay. Billy Bob Thornton, Alison Tolman, Colin Hanks. I was like, oh, this is about Fargo. Read. read. John Hamm, main cast. Oh, okay, yes, this is definitely about Fargo. Cool, got it. It's Fargo. We watched the first one. It was good. We started the second one, bounced off it. That was around the time that we stopped watching drama, and we never got back to it.
So, it was good-ish in the way that, you know how you can't watch, like, military themed anything fictional without noticing how they get so much wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's me and Midwestern accents.
Stuff. Yeah.
It was so cloying and so, like, unsubtle.
There.
That was what really bounced me off. It was, I felt insulted, frankly, by the whole thing. But, so I read through this list, and that's been kind of, you know, placed on the back burner, the back shelf for me since we did watch it. I read through this huge list of people and thought, well, is that like maybe American Horror Story? Because I feel like some of these people might also have been in that. I'm not sure. Like Jean Smart, for example, struck me as maybe she'd been in that. But I thought, you know, it would be really sort of unfair of them to, you know, to ask about American Horror Story without asking about, like, Lady Gaga. If we're going to, you know, put all these luminaries in a list, that would be a weird, glaring omission. And then I thought, I don't think Chris Rock was an American Horror Story. That doesn't ring right to me. And so I sort of went through this evolution of, like, was it Black Mirror that all these different people have been in? Because that was an anthology series, too. And just kind of like, there could have been all kinds of different, you know, casting opportunities in that. But then I circled back to Chris Rock. This is a very, as it works out, Chris Rock-centric question for me. Because I remembered how interesting and unexpected it was that he was cast in Fargo. That I, you know, that he seems incongruous with, you know, that, my impression of the show, I guess. And then I looked back through the list and I was like, oh yeah, Billy Bob Thornton was in that. I think I remember Jean Smart was in there as like one of the crime boss kind of ladies. Like,
yeah, might have been.
So then it started to gel together once I thought, yeah, Fargo, I think that's probably what we're looking at here. 2014, that sounds about right. You know, it doesn't specify that it's ended or that it, you know, had X number of series since then or anything like that. So with nothing to contradict me on that score, I put down Fargo.
And that was correct. Well done.
Phew.
Question five asks us, what sport have Real Madrid, Andalu Efes, CSK Moscow, Fenerbahce, and Maccabi Tel Aviv recently won the most prestigious European trophy in?
I had no idea about this, except I assumed that it wasn't soccer, because that can't possibly be, like, first of all, like, none of these teams I've ever heard of in the context of European soccer, other than Real Madrid, which I figured, well, that just means, like, Royal Madrid. That's a fairly generic name for a team that's based out of Madrid, as the capital of Spain. So, the other ones I was like, none of these have I heard of before, in a context other than that specific one. So I thought, well, just like, what's a sport that I might not have heard much about generally, because, you know, who does coverage of whatever it is, like, volleyball occurred to me. I was like, maybe it's a volleyball thing. That could be something that's much bigger in Europe than it is here. And then I thought of handball, because I thought, I think that's a thing that's bigger in Europe and that is, like, surprisingly popular around the world, but that we don't hear anything about because our sports are dominated by, you know, the big four pro sports leagues that are so overwhelmingly ubiquitous. And so I thought, sure, that sounds sort of, odd enough to be plausible. So, cause I otherwise just didn't really have a guess. There's no way into this unless you actually recognize at least one of these. So I put on handball.
I also started at soccer, Real Madrid. But then I looked at the other ones and, you know, like, one of these I think is Turkish. Obviously, one's Russian. Looks like one of them might be Greek. And, of course, Israeli. Yeah. And I thought, there's no way that Israel has won soccer of Europe.
Yeah.
I can't believe that has happened. And then I remembered that a lot of American collegiate basketball players, especially Jewish ones who can be citizens of Israel, play in Israel. After their college, or probably nowadays even during, because you can make money at it. You know, the ones who aren't NBA level can still play in various places around Europe. Brittany Griner played in Russia. Not for this particular team. I believe she played in Yekaterinburg rather than Moscow. And I know I've heard of some other post-college basketball players, men and women, who played in Israel specifically. And I believe I'd heard that some played in Turkey as well. So I figured, okay, this could be basketball, mm-hmm. for lack of anything better. I just knew that those were places that basketball at a high level, if not NBA level, is played.
And that was the correct answer. Well done.
Yeah.
If I had thought about anything like what would be a sport very popularly played in Israel, basketball is a good guess. Given its origins, it was predominantly played by Jewish people at its beginnings in the U.S., for sure.
It was considered a stereotypically Jewish sport at its beginnings.
Indeed. Question 6 finally asks us about the Kuiper Belt and the objects therein, which are often referred to as Kuiper Belt objects, KBOs, but alternatively might be TNOs, and we're asked to tell what the N in TNO stands for.
Well, this is probably trans-Neptunian, since we've decided that that's where the good part of the solar system ends. Still salty, always going to be salty.
Yeah.
Justice for Pluto. I just figured this must be N for Neptunian.
This one did take me a couple of approaches to just kind of like think about, what could this be like in terms of where is the Kuiper Belt situated? And then it kind of occurred to me, it's right out there, you know, since it's on the edge of the current set of planets in the solar system, not to set anybody on edge here, that, you know, it seemed like it, relating it to Neptune would make a lot of sense. What I couldn't figure out what the T stood for, so I'm really glad we didn't get asked for that.
Wow.
But I thought, I think these things are out around Neptune, and they're kind of orbiting, you know, in that general area as well. So I put down Neptune, just thinking, you know, the planet itself.
And it turns out we were both right.
Indeed.
The answer is Neptune or Neptunian.
Right.
So
that gave me a whole 3 out of 6 on the day.
Wow, rough day. I had 5.
So. Nice.
I'm happy with it, except for the fact that the one I missed was classical music, which is one of my worst subjects, despite getting better at it over the last few years, thanks to that book.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm betting on a 6-point day.
Well, you know, there's still a chance, because I feel like Thorsten's grading has been pretty generous. And I wouldn't be too surprised if you got credit for that, just because of the sound-alike rule. Mm. You know, somebody, if you had heard it pronounced out loud and somebody kind of, you know, didn't hit the ah super hard, you could be forgiven for thinking it was Buffo.
Yep.
But, you know, here's hoping you can get a retroactive beer tomorrow. I am not going to get any kind of beer. I got a half pack at best. Mm. So.
Well, that's it for today. Tune in tomorrow for more post-game analysis. Follow us on Blue Sky at Learned Lag, now with all the vowels. And remember,
don't forfeit.
Don't cheat.